So as Matthew was asking me, what am I grateful for, right? And I mentioned that I went to a conference this weekend. So I spent Friday night and Saturday in Midtown at a conference on the Enneagram, which is a personality type testing about spiritual wisdom. And it was involving also spiritual practices and how spiritual practices can help us become our true selves and can help us kind of shed this persona of our personality that keeps us trapped in these unhealthy behaviors over and over again. And I love this. Anyone who knows me super well knows I love this way of looking at the world and way of getting to know other people. But I heard some really great things this weekend, a lot of really great stories, a lot of great wisdom. And so I want to share with you one thing that sticks out in particular. So the woman who was teaching this is named Suzanne Stabile, and she told this story about a friend she has who is a nun. And this nun has all of her ministry been working with Native American communities. And so she's really close with the people she ministers with. And she has this one friend, this older Native American man. And if you understand anything about the difference between the Catholic Church and Native American spirituality, you know they're very, very different in the way they look at the world. And so to bring these two people together for this moment that they spend together, you get all kinds of things from that, all kinds of wisdom and experience. So when they are together, he is always asking her if she can hear stuff around them that she can't hear. And she gets very frustrated every time he does this. But he's trying to point out the awareness of everything going on in the world around them. So the story goes like this. They are walking around the town together in this small town square. And he asks her, "Can you hear the crickets?" And she says, "No. No, there are no crickets. You're messing with me. There are no crickets." And he says, "No, I'm not messing with you. I'm not lying to you. Can you hear the crickets?" She gets frustrated and she says, "No, I cannot hear the crickets." She stops and tries and she says, "I can't hear the crickets. There are no crickets." He says, "Come with me." So he walks her around the corner and they turn, and on the back side of this building, there's this wall full of crickets, all singing. So now she can hear the crickets. And in this frustration about why she can't hear things, he says, "Let me show you something else." They walk back into the town square. There are people, you know, milling around everywhere doing their thing. He takes all the change out of his pocket and he drops it on the ground. And everyone stops and turns to look. And what he says to her is, "Everyone hears the money. Nobody hears the crickets." And so Suzanne later shared this quote from Eric Allenbaugh, which is, "What you focus on determines what you miss and who you become." And in the story, the people are focused on the money and they're missing the crickets. And it determines what we become, whether we are, you know, slaves to money or whether we are people in tune with nature, right? So I want to talk about this concept of what you focus on determines what you miss and who you become in our recovery. In this process, the very beginning of the 12 steps is about admitting that we're powerless and our lives are unmanageable. That is the moment when we put down our defenses and denial and we finally get honest with ourselves, because usually everyone around us and that higher power out there we call God already knows what's going on. It's just us that's in denial. We do that, and that honesty for the first time allows us to start making a change. And that change we teach here, because it's what's in the big book, is one of a spiritual nature. It is about learning to live a spiritually fit life. But I understand that a lot of people who find their way into this space because of whatever life has thrown them did not do it because they chose addiction for themselves, or that you sitting here as family members and friends chose to have a loved one who suffered. We found it because life has a way of doing that, bringing things in that we don't always want and that are harmful. And so when we're asking you to find this solution, we're talking about a spiritually fit life where I learn to live spiritual principles. Those are, wow, my voice is in it. You did this to me. Okay. Those are things like honesty and courage and forgiveness and compassion and justice and integrity. And the 12 steps in the way that they work, they're much deeper than what the wording says. They're about learning this new way of life. That in the first step, I'm learning honesty and acceptance. And that means that from now on, instead of going towards dishonesty and attempting to control everything in life, I'm now going to practice honesty and accepting things as they come, life on life's terms. So this spiritual change comes over time and learning practice. But what we know is that it's not possible for us to do this on our own. That's why the second step talks about a power greater than ourselves that restores us to sanity. Because we need something bigger than us. If we could have done it on our own, we would have done it a long time ago. So being able to learn and practice spiritual principles comes from drawing on that power bigger than us to help us do what we cannot do by ourselves. And what the 12th step promises in a very subtle way is that this change will come. It calls it a spiritual awakening, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. So we have to talk a lot here about what that means, because those terms are very elusive, I think. What is spiritual? What's an awakening? How do that work together? Why is that going to save my life? And it goes hand in hand with spiritual experience. So when we come here and we ask you to start doing things like praying and meditating and trying to be grateful and trying to practice acceptance, like, that's hard. That's really hard. Because what we're asking you to do is have a spiritual experience. A spiritual experience is nothing more than a moment in which I'm aware of that which is bigger than me. And I think it happens in this very room all the time when people share. It certainly doesn't happen when you guys sing hymns, but I think it happens all the time when people share and we realize that there's something bigger than me going on here. And I get that kind of weird feeling in my gut, or maybe tingles down my spine, or maybe just this overwhelming joy and gratitude or love in my heart. That awareness of something bigger than me. So if you feel like you don't know what that means and you've never had a spiritual experience, I ask you to take a moment to consider, have you ever had a moment where you just became overwhelmingly aware of something bigger than you? Because I bet you have. I bet you've had a spiritual experience. It might have been at a football game when everyone was cheering and you got those chills up your spine. It might have been if you're a musician and you're playing in an ensemble and you hear your sound, right, join with the sound of others, and it's incredible. It might have been at the top of a mountain when you were looking at the big world and you realized that everything is so much bigger than you and how much smaller you are. It might happen in church when you're singing and you feel overwhelmed by the presence of God. But we've all had these. And they're that moment where, whether or not we know it, we're in contact with the divine. And what comes from that, if we allow it, is a spiritual awakening. A spiritual awakening is this change in the way that I see things, change in the way that I live. We call it a personality change in recovery. And with those spiritual experiences, now I am making a change because this thing that's bigger than me that I'm aware of is doing that in me and for me. So when we come here and those concepts seem hard and different and uncomfortable or impossible to some of us, the question here is, what have you been focusing on? Right? Because what you focus on determines what you miss and who you become. So if I'm convinced that this spiritual experience and whatever that means is so different from me and so not possible for me, I ask you to consider, what are you focusing on? because maybe you're missing those experiences because you're focused on something else. So learning to allow spiritual experiences, I hear all these great stories from people being transformed in the 30 days that they're here, starting this process of becoming made new again. And they tell me when I ask them, have you had a spiritual experience here and can you tell me what that was like? There's all sorts of things that come up. Maybe I got a scholarship that I didn't know I was gonna get and it helped me with my treatment that I wouldn't have been able to afford. Maybe my loved one who hasn't wanted to talk to me for years has decided to come to the family program and be in community with me. Maybe I had a moment where everyone else was in the cabin and I got to sit outside by myself and pray and see the sun rise, right? Maybe things just work out a certain way and I don't know what to attribute that to other than something outside of me that's making all those things happen. So we start to see those things active around us. And we see that that power bigger than me is here and it's working. Why is it different now? Because what I focus on determines what I miss. And what we have the ability to realize is those things have been happening all along. That God and that power greater than us has been there caring for us all along. And it's a question of whether we've been focusing on it or missing it. So when we look at moving forward from here, that's the question, what you focus on. Because it will factor in what you miss and who you become. Whatever I focus on determines who I become. So speaking practically about what you can do with this moving forward today, the question is, do you focus on everything that goes wrong? And how much it's your fault, or how much you're mad at other people for what they did to make that go wrong? Are you holding shame or resentment? Or are you focusing on the things that are still going right? Are you focusing on what you don't have and how incomplete you are? Or are you focusing on gratitude and all these gifts that are being given to you and around you? Do you focus your mind on negativity? Because you miss the positivity when you do that. You miss the optimism and the hope and the love when you focus on the negative. Do you focus on this power bigger than you that allows you to take your ego out of the equation? Or are you so focused on yourself that you miss all of that? Because those things determine what you become and who you become. And that's the wisdom we know from the 12 steps. When I'm focused on negativity and resentment and shame and pain and selfish, self-centered desires, this is what I become. This sick and broken person in need of a life-renewing experience. But when I learn and I come here and I open myself up to focusing on God, love, sisterhood and brotherhood and community, on gratitude and on peace, that transformation makes me into something completely new, a whole new me that's much more like the one person I was meant to be. So, what are you focusing on? And what are you missing? Amen.